Blog Talk Radio.
Our Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, I am excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, the Word of God said today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. I hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I am truly excited about the Lord on today, and I come to exalt the name of Jesus and give him the praise and glory that is due unto his name. I would like to take this moment to welcome each and every one of you that have joined me on today, from my friends from far and near. I want to say greetings to you in that matchless name of Jesus, and that grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. I am excited today because we have another beautiful lesson that we want to share with you on today. And our lesson is going to be the perfection of possessing that of faith. The perfection and possessing of patience. And so let us go ahead and get ready as you get your Bibles and come right in and make yourself right at home. We are going to look at our scripture reading, which is found over in Luke 21, verses number 7 through verse number 22, as well as Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 36. We are excited today, and as you get in your Bible and turning to the scripture lesson, I know God, without a shadow of a doubt, that God have a blessing for you today, and that he is just going to overtake you and bless you in a mighty and a special way. God is going to do it because he's that type of God. He promised he will take care of that which belongs to him. Rest, knowing that God will and shall take care of you. On today, let us take and turn our hearts and minds towards our lesson on today, which is over in Luke chapter number 22, verse number 7, all the way down to verse number 22. And it reads on this line, and they asked him, saying, Master, when shall we these things be? And what signship will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotion, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not yet, by and by. Then said he unto them, nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, famine, pestilence, and fearful sight, and great signs shall be there from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart, and not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. But ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head shall perish. In your patience possess ye your soul. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountain, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now let's take a look at Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Today, our focus is going to be on patience today and perfecting that. And patience is the display of faith and the confidence of knowledge, which allows our visions and dreams to become reality. With patience, we perfect the present and possess the future. Now, let us take a look deeply here at this particular lesson on today. Many individuals think of Job as the model of patience. Consequently, people who exemplify this virtue are said to have the patience of Job. Perhaps the real hallmark of patience ought to be God, who has created, called, and conjured, and coordinated with mankind for thousands of years. In 1 Peter 3 and 20, Peter wrote, "The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. God waited many years for the salvation of eight souls, with some sad consequences. God continued to wait for the appropriate time to fulfill his plan for man's salvation. The fullness of time was a time coming. Finally, God brought about the incarnation when he manifested himself through Jesus Christ and became the perfect sacrifice for redemption." See Galatians 4 and 4. Now, God then placed the destiny of his church in the hands of 12 menial trained disciples and their fellow believers, trusting them to do greater things than he had done, leaving behind only the promise of power from the Holy Ghost and the leadership of several men who he had trained. Jesus ascended and trusted his followers to evangelize the world. Glorious things were done. Following the ascension, the disciple received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and experienced tremendous revival. However, in the midst of revival, the book of Acts also records leadership conflict, personality clashes, and disagreements. After nearly 2,000 years, believers still struggle to manifest mutual trust. We impatiently demand certain behavior from fellow believers and inhibit little patience for their development, growth, as well as maturity. Now, let us take a look further into the place of, and we're going to look at the definition of patience. According to Merriam-Webster, one idea of the word patience is bearing pain or trials calmly and without complaint. Dictionary.com defined the word patient as, number one, the quality of being patient, as for the bearing of procrastination, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper or irritation or the like. Number two, an ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or ignorance when confronted with delay. To have patience with a slow learner. Number three, quiet, steady, perseverance, even-tempered, care, deliberate, diligent, to work with patients. So these are just some of the definition, and I want to go over them again, that depict patience. And I'll read that again in your hearing and seeing the quality of being patient as bearing of a provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, or losing your temper, or become irritated, or the like. Then it says, again, patient is the ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance with, when confronted with delay, or to have patience with someone that is not getting it. Bottom line, they just didn't get it. And so here, having that patience, and with that one that is slow of learning, who's not really getting it, and walking with them, being quiet and steady and perseverant and even tempered and diligent. These are the words when we begin to look at patience. These are the things or the attributes or the definitions that we will find in that particular word. Now let's look a little further, and let's look here at God's pattern of patience for mankind. And that's important for us to see, you know, what is God's pattern? What is he looking at and seeing for us? And what does he want for us as being patient as people of God? Now, numerous times in the Bible and biblical history, God could have hurried the process of obedience and conformity as well as redemption. However, in his patience, God waited for the maturity and the performance of mankind. For an example, we can see over in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 20, God aids and assists our faithfulness and honors our prayers. But his pattern is to empower and enable his people. As the old adage said, God has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet. God empowers believers to do his work on earth, and he patiently waits for the result. It is difficult to imagine the immersed patience God has with hardened. Mark 6 and 52, stiff-necked. Acts 5, 7 and 51, stubborn. Psalm 78 and 8, people. And so here, we as children of God, we must maintain a tenderness and a patience towards that which what God is doing in and through the lives of his people. Now let's look at another aspect here in regards to patience. Mankind's practice of patience with God. Hebrew 11 chronicles a long list of faithful followers who were patient with God. They held the conviction that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. They endured, they persevered, they waited and suffered as they awaited promises and deliverances and interventions from God. They all had all they had was faith and a glimpse of things that was to come. And such as it is, sometimes when we find ourselves and waiting upon God, and the only thing that you have is just your faith, just hoping and believing that God is going to do it. And so we as children of God, as we hold fast unto God with our faith and with our hope in him, he is going to do it. The scripture says, he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. And so that denotes and let us know that God is not going to tarry. He knows the exact moment. Oh, child of God. He knows the exact second. Oh, he knows the exact millisecond that he needs to step in and work on your behalf. And so hold faith and be in confidence and knowing and possess ye your soul with patience, knowing that God will do it. And God will undergird. And many times, sometimes in our test and trial, God is developing in our lives patience. He's teaching us how to endure. He's teaching us how to bear with those that are not getting it, or that slow learner, or that one that just refused to, and things. He's giving us patience. He's teaching us how to even to wait ourselves and things on that which God is doing in through our life. As I was moving around today, God dropped a thought down in my mind that was so profound. He said, Helen, I take you and my people, and I show them what they're going to be and what I want to do in their life and do through them. And he blesses them with that spiritual insight. And then what he does, he brings us back and pulls us back, and then he breaks us sometimes and through hard tests or trials or tribulation. And then he turns around and blesses us if we endure the process of what God is doing in and through our life, so that we can become that man or that woman of God that God is calling us out to be. And what in that process, we must possess our souls with patience and allowing God to have his perfect work in our life. And remembering that we are the clay and he is the potter. And are we the ones that's supposed to say to the potter, what are you doing? And why are you breaking me like this? But what he's doing is preparing us to be vessels of honor that can bring forth glory and honor unto him. Now, these all, talking about the catalog of faith, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, Hebrews 11 and 13. They inhibited a pattern of hope and belief for the future generation to realize promise, greatness, and fulfillment. They did not complain about having it all and knowing it all or seeing it all. Rather, they laid foundations and built altars and established beginnings and labored faithfully as they trusted God to inspire and to lead and develop those who would follow. And so sometimes we must trust God and things as never before, and things as he's doing it in and through our lives, and establishing things in our lives. Now, let's look at adding patience to the Christian development. Now, we talked about mankind's practice of the pattern with God. Now, we're going to look at another aspect, which is adding patience to the Christian development. Now, we don't automatically come with patience. But one of the things that we do, we have, is that the ability and the capacity to allow this to be developed in our life. And so it's very important for us as children of God is to allow God to develop in our life whatever he's doing. Now let's look at this. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 5 through 6. Says, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now, in these verses, two vital links, temperance and patience, are strategically placed between knowledge and godliness. Patience is the fruit of temperance. Only after we have developed temperance or self-control can we be patient. Now, and many times in our testing and trials, God is developing in our life self-control, being able to control ourselves. And that is the key thing that God is trying to develop in the life of the child of God, is self-control, controlling yourself or oneself. Now, experiences in life, the alternating highs and lows and good and bad, sickness and health, honor and shame, all add to our lives a level of tolerance and understanding that becomes Christian maturity. Now, let's look. Now, we talked about the place of patience. We looked at the definition. Then we also looked at God's pattern of patience with mankind and mankind's patience, practice of patience with God. And then we looked at adding patience to the Christian development. And now we're going to look at perfecting works of patience. Now, we can come in and start developing patience, but we must also perfect that. And so we must go on to that next level. And so God is constantly in our spiritual growth, is taking us from level to level, from faith to faith. And it's key to us as children of God to allow God to move us to that place of perfecting our patience, awaiting on Him. And we're going to look at that. Now, let's look at our first point. Made perfect in suffering. Suffering both requires and builds patience. Suffering has the ability to move a child of God towards perfection. The appetite, the life of Jesus Christ, His living, teaching, suffering, and death made Him the perfect sacrifice for sin of humanity. For humanity. See in Hebrews 5, verses 8 through 9, we can see that His living example, His teaching, His suffering, and His death made Him the perfect sacrifice for the sins of humanity. For mankind to live up to a standard of human perfection similar to that of Jesus Christ, it is impossible. But practicing patience as we live through this, through the process of life and experiencing of suffering, always keep an eye on eternity and advances us towards perfection. Now, the only perfect person was Jesus Christ. He is the only source of propitiation and atonement for mankind. He is our model as we reach for perfection. Jesus Christ is the only hope mankind has for receiving His imputed righteousness, Romans 4, verses 16 and 24, which is man's only hope for final achievement and perfection. Now let's look further. Made complete in patience. As we continually appropriate the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, we continue to grow, we continue to mature, and reach for perfection through Christ Jesus, resting our hope for salvation in Him. In the Old Testament, the high priest every year entered into the holies of holies with fear and trepidation. The bells on the hem of His garment and the rope around His ankle vividly reminded Him that His venture could be fatal. His sole purpose was the sprinkling of a few drops of blood on the mercy seat with the expectation that God would grant forgiveness for the sins of the nation. The pause between the priest sprinkling blood and the manifested Shekinah presence of God must have seemed to him an eternity. He anxiously waited God's acceptance. In a similar fashion, the temporal pause between the cross and eternity seemed endless, with all creation groaning to receive redemption, Romans 8, verses 19 and 22. The pause between receiving the Holy Ghost and the final judgment seemed everlasting, between trials and blessings seemed forever, between sorrow and joy seemed unending, and between doubt and uncertainty seemed immutable. A never-ending journey of troughs and pauses that wears on the fabric of human existence forms the spiritual part of us and advances us toward the completion in Christ Jesus. Now, in our constant hope to receive the promises of Christ that makes us complete, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. Now, So that ends my talk in regards to being made complete in patience. Now, let's look, made strong in weaknesses. And sometimes in our weaknesses, we shouldn't succumb to them, but we should continue to strive to be the man and the woman of God that He called us out to be. And in that striving, God will certainly undergird us and fortify us and strengthen us. But let us look at another aspect of even about our own weaknesses, because sometimes in our weaknesses, the adversary will want us to feel so bad. Oh, you know, I'm not coming up to this. I'm not, you know, doing this, and I keep fumbling at this. Well, guess what? God understands that, and He's wanting to help us. The more we invite Him in, the more He's able to help us and undergird us and fortify and strengthen us. Now, let's look further. It says, as this made strong in weakness, patience turns the tides of exhaustion, defeat, and failure into glorious victory. Whether signing, singing psalms at midnight in the jail of injustice or entering the battle armed only with praise, the evidence supports triumph through patient obedience despite our human helplessness. The Bible tells us of Abraham struggling with the unfulfilled promise of the son, Moses facing the Red Sea, Joshua at the Jordan, David exhausted at Ziklag, Jeremiah in tears, and many others, obviously weakness that plagued the people of God. But in patiently waiting for Him, trusting in Him, and believing in His promise, they prevailed. Again, the Chronicles of Hebrews 11 documents the strength of the faithful and patient. And we're going to take a look at that. It reads on this line over in Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 34 through 40. I'll read it in your hearing. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses was made strong, wax valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised up again, and others were tortured and not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection, and other had trials of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert and in mountains, and in dens and caves of earth, and all these having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided for some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34 through verse number 40. And such as it is, with us looking at out of their weakness, they became strong. And so out of our weakness and out of sometimes the things that we're struggling with, God is making us to become stronger, a stronger child of God, a stronger man of God, a woman of God, stronger in your belief, stronger in your hope and confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and things. Now let's look further. Now let's look at the possessing of patience. Patience possesses life and time. Life is growth, and all healthy growth is slow and takes time. Children develop in many aspects at different scales and speeds. Generally speaking, boys early on are less verbal but more physically adept than girls. The girls physically mature faster than boys. Some children observe and learn rather than touch and feel. Whether socially, mentally, emotionally, or physically, every child has a unique development schedule. Parents must practice patience through every stage of a child's growth, whether it is the terrible twos or the trying teens. All caregivers of children have to endure the varieties of growth phase, their changes they go through. A hospital nurse cares for a patient as he passes from emergency care to critical care to routine care, eventually to home care. Even a pastor leads a sinner from the Bible study to the altar to personalized training, to mentoring. Eventually, their hope is for a new believer to progress into the evidence of ministry of some type, serving in the house of God, in the things of God. Now, further, each of these cases requires patience as the individuals progress through these various stages. Now, waiting for the harvest and during the winter or making it through the night all requires patience. The wonders of technology and the marvels of science still require a time of fertilization, growth, and maturity. Biologically, tracks to speed up or multiply the harvest will yield hothouses and produce that produce that is small and less tasty. However, patience for the process is much better, is a much better choice. And just going through the process, and it's key for us as children of God, is to go through that process in allowing the maturity to take place in the life of the child of God, and being patient with yourself and being patient with your leader or your mentors or the one that God has given rule over you, which is your pastor, the leader that is in that house and things, because they're nurturing and they're or not only nurturing one, but they're nurturing many. And so sometimes we must possess even patience, even with our leaders as well. Now, let us look a little further here and see. Patience possesses the soul. Patience is a difficult concept for a human to perceive, especially in the biblical perspective, to individual waiting in difficult in a trial. However, time and waiting altogether different to God. He instituted a prophetic plan in the beginning, and it shall come to pass. To human, it may seem long in coming to fulfillment. However, it is but a moment to God. We know that the day must be shortened for the sake of mankind. Matthew 24, verse 22, Mark 13 and 20. And the end times are predicted to be fraught with despair and desperation. The heightened intensity associated with the culmination of prophecy is fulfillment in the ultimate destiny of mankind weighs on the human psyche with anxiety and perplexity and fear higher. The Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, to his children with hope and faith and God-given patience, for believers will possess their own very soul. Luke 2, 21, verses 16 and verse number 27. Again, that's Luke chapter number 21, verses 16 through verse number 27. God has not given us the spirit of anxiety and perplexity, but he's given us the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. And once we claim that, and we have to literally claim a sound mind, we must claim love and joy and peace. We must claim those things and power that God has given unto us as the people of God. We must claim those because he has given it to us. And in many ways, the believer is born of adversity, armed and equipped with spiritual weapons greater than any of the mandates, mundane or earthly construction. The believer can stand faithful and conquer against immeasurable odds. When God needs someone to stand in the gap, to do something seemingly impossible, or to exercise extreme effort, he uses mature Christians who have patience to wait on the victory. And so that maturity is what God is calling us to come to. And don't get trapped in the process that God is maturing your life. And don't allow yourself to succumb to the wooings of the adversary that comes to woo against our own very soul and fight up against us. But what God is wanting us to do is to possess our soul with patience, to endure, to go on through, and make up in your mind just to go on and be the woman of God. Go on and do what God tells you to do and not get stuck in the trials, not get stuck in all the things that is going around you, whether it's uncomfortable, whether it doesn't seem right, whatever it may be, just go on through that and let God bless you. And he is going to bless you because the all-seeing eye of God is watching you and is there with you. And he is the one we want to bring glory and honor and to please him. Now, let us look at Romans chapter number 5, verses 2 through 5, and I'll read it in your hearing. By whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, let's look at another aspect of patience. Patience allows us to possess our dream. Joseph did not give up on his dream in spite of opposition and numerous reverses. He told it to his brethren. They reject him and his dream. He patiently told it everywhere he went and wherever he was. He told it in prison. He told it in Pharaoh's throne room. Situation and circumstances did not dampen or assure his godly conviction or his patience to see the fruition of his dream. After reconciling with his brethren and after death of his father, Joseph generously underscored the virtue of patience. When guilt and recrimination was plaguing his carnal brother with the fear of further retaliation or retribution, Joseph acknowledged their intent to do evil, but was able to see how God used their evil for good. He did not chide his brother for their short-sightedness or berate their cruel inhumanity. He patiently loved them and wanted them to one day to carry his bones back to the place where he first received his dream. And so here we found that Joseph was very patient in waiting on God to do that which he needed to be done in and through his life. Now, patience allows us to possess our future. God called Abraham. He lived in Ur, and the main metropolis of his day, where it seemed he was financially secure, socially successful, politically connected. God called on him to leave those safe surroundings and go to a place that he would show Abraham. We can only speculate on the resistance and the reasoning Abraham might have felt before he decided to follow God's call. Surely he must have struggled with, confronted by many challenges of the unknown, many personal insecurities, and many vulnerabilities. Abraham had only to promise that God would let him know where he was to go and at the appropriate moment. Abraham's journey must have been filled with difficulty. For example, he suffered numerous separations from his family when he left Ur, when he left Haran, when he separated from his nephew Lot in Canaan. It appeared that throughout his journey and challenges, Abraham kept the right perspective and the right priority, and he patiently followed God's leading. He left a great example of faith and faithfulness, but still he sometimes made bad decisions, such as when he fathered his son Ishmael. Still, he never gave up the promises of God or his future with God. What a marvelous example to follow in most respects. Let us not become impatient and fall short of God's promises of God. Rather, let us be faithful until the time of receiving God's promise. And that's one of the things I often encourage the children of God to remain faithful. Just stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to the things of God. Be faithful to that which he's given unto you. And then get up, get back to the plow. Put your hand back to the plow and continue on in the things that God has given you to do. And don't become sidetracked by the vicissitudes of life and the wooing of the adversary, but hold fast to the things of the Lord. Now, it said, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of eternity, entering into regret, any of you should seem to come short of it. Hebrews 4 and verses number 1. Now, let's look. Patience in keeping the word keeps one from temptation. Now, let's look at what's going to keep us from the temptations here. It's that when a person deceives himself into thinking he will have another day or plenty of time to repent of sin and draw near to Jesus, he unwittingly defeats the power of patience. To persist in sin is a personal demand of immediate satisfaction. The narrative of Matthew 24, verses 47 and 50, and Luke 12, verses 44 and 47, vividly portrays that dynamic. On the other hand, when a person realizes the temporal nature of his existence, he will commit his life completely to Jesus Christ and endeavor to serve the Lord. Now, in embracing God's desires and principles for our lives, in continually anticipating his return, the child of God manifests godly patience. A lack of patience tempts one to betray the holiness of Jesus Christ and yield to selfish agendas of idleness and pleasure. However, those who exhibit patience shall reap its reward, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them and to dwell and that dwell upon the earth. Revelation 3 and 10. Now here we have clearly the writer of Hebrew understood this principle regarding patience. Proverbs 13 and 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Without patience, constant request for prayer, endless hope for healing, and living daily with only basic needs can erode faith and defeat confidence and undermine faithfulness. Some people live from blessing to blessing, never learning to temper the varieties of life to a level of spiritual consistency. Their lives are continually up and down like yo-yo, and their faith reflects the conditions and situation of their current surroundings. God wants the children to live above that, for he has promised abundant life, John 10 and 10. And that consistency, just being consistent in coming to church, reading your Bible, being faithful unto God and the things of God is very key. The same principle holds true in a person yearning for a carnal satisfaction. A cycle of surrender and resistance will leave a person spiritually bankrupt if he fails to establish a baseline of holiness that disciplines their thoughts and action to a consistent level of acceptable behavior. The same patience that empowers a believer to possess their soul also will serve to harness their desire and keep them from this temptation. Now, patience gives revival and renewal. Though we usually do not think of the concept of tarrying apart from one's praying at the altar, it is a biblical idea that should be part of a believer's daily life. One of the last instructions Jesus gave to his disciple involved tarrying. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Luke 24 and 49. On numerous occasions throughout the Bible, there are exhortations to wait. For example, Jesus asked Peter, James, and John to tarry in Gethsemane. Matthew 26:38. It was the plea from the travelers of Emmaus to the one journeying with them that eventually brought them revelation, Luke 24:29. It was the invitation to Jesus in Samaria, John 4:40, that brought revival in the book of Acts, Acts 8. It was the request of Peter in Caesarea, Acts 10:48, and of Paul, Acts 18:20 and 28:14. Further, almost every case of tarrying or waiting resulted in revelation, revival, and renewal. Sometimes we just have to wait on the Lord and allow him to give us revelation and to renew us and to give us that revival, to revive our spirit. Paul instructed believers to wait on one another in communion, 1 Corinthians 11:33. The combination of patience and service present a dynamic duo that infuses spiritually and ignites passion for revival. Consider the effect of one promise made to Simeon over in Luke 2:25-35. He had received the promise that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's salvation, and he tarried faithfully as he waited the fulfillment of the promise. He became old and limited in his physical ability, but he never wavered in his faithfulness to the house of God, waiting for the fulfillment of the God-given promise. His joy and exhortation is seeing the baby Jesus brought renewed vigor and excited hope to him, to the family of Jesus, and to everyone who read the testimony of Luke. And when we read over in Isaiah 40:31, it reads, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, the biblical example of patience and impatience. As we look further, the Bible has recorded many examples, both of those who exhibit great patience and those who fail to do so. Consider the pain and suffering and losses caused when individuals fail to live with godly patience. Now let's take a look. Abraham did not wait for the promised child. Instead, intervened by trying to assist God in fulfilling the promise, Genesis 16:15. Ishmael's Bible birth was the beginning of an adversarial people who perpetually warred and competed against the descendants of Isaac, the son of promise. Saul, he disobeyed God and offered sacrifice rather than waiting for Samuel, over in 1 Samuel 15:22. The act cost him both his standing with God and with the nation. Because of their impatience, the Israelites grumbled against Moses in the wilderness, which was a major cause of the people wandering for 40 years. Paul had no patience with John Mark's failure, and he refused to allow John Mark to accompany him on his missionary journey, which created great contention, Acts 15:39-41. Consequently, it caused Paul and Barabbas to go separate ways. On the other hand, consider the great result of those who patiently endured difficult circumstances. Job was patient in tribulation, John 5:11. And his end was greater than his beginning because of his patience. Noah patiently built the ark in obedience to God, 1 Peter 3:20, 2 Peter 2:5. And it became his means of deliverance from the flood. Jesus endured the shame of the cross and through it provided the means of redemption for all mankind. Jesus commanded his disciples to tarry for power from on high. They obediently and patiently waited for the promise of the Father. Consequently, they received the Holy Ghost and personally experienced both the new birth and the birth of Christ's church. And this all took place because of their patience. And so in your patience, possess ye your soul, because God is doing a great work in and through your life, even through the suffering or your difficulties or your uncomfortable situations that you may find yourself in. God is doing a greater work in your life, and not only in your life, for those that are around you, that they may see the glory of God resting upon your life. Oh, child of God, God is doing it for his glory and for his honor. He's doing it, and he's going to bless you in a mighty and a special way. Just hold fast and move forward in and through the things of God. Now, let's take a look here as we reflect for just a moment before we conclude this lesson as to where we've been and what we've been talking about. And first of all, we're talking about the perfection and possession of patience. And we looked at Luke chapter number 21 through verses number 7 through verse number 22. And we also looked at our focus verse as to be Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And patience is the display of our faith and confidence of knowledge, which allow our vision and dreams to become reality. And with patience, we perfect the present and possess the future. And so we looked at faith. We recognized the definition of faith. And then we began to look at God's pattern of patience with mankind and mankind's patience and practice of patience with God. We also looked at adding patience to the Christian development. And 2 Peter said, verses chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith patience, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Further, perfecting work of patience, make patience in made perfect in suffering, made complete in patience, made strong in weakness. Then we went on and we talked about possession of patience. We got to possess it. We got to hold fast to it. And we talked about how patience is just self-control, controlling oneself. Patience possesses life and time. Patience possesses the soul. Patience allows us to possess our dreams. Patience allows us to possess our future. Patience in keeping the word keep one from temptation. Patience gives revival and renewal. Then we went on to look at the biblical examples of patience and as well as impatience. We looked at Abraham when he didn't wait. We looked at Saul who was disobedient to God. We looked at Moses who grumbled. We looked at Paul who had no patience. And then we looked at the consequences that it caused Paul and Barabbas to separate. Then we looked at Job, who was patient in tribulation, and his end was much greater than his beginning. And then we looked at the reward for Noah, who patiently built the ark in obedience to God, and it became his means of deliverance from the flood. And how Jesus, he endured the shame of the cross. Through it, he provides the means of redemption and salvation for all mankind. And so here we have concluding. The world around us will cry for and even adamantly demand immediate gratification. Commercialism thrives through the latest development in features, the fastest suppliers, the smoothest sales pitch, entertainment vendors, the latest and the most sensational experience. Sadly, it seems whatever is the most bizarre and the most profane and the most offensive, or whatever offers the greatest risk, seems to set sales records and draw raving crowds. However, we the church, should respond to these marketing trends, and how should we respond to them? Do we emulate the world's marketing strategy that strives on sensationalism and traffic in human experience? Do we